scripture lessons from Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Thank you. Please be seated.
Well, please bow your heads with me for just a moment here. Well, Father, we do thank you and praise you for this word that was just read for us and for the instruction that it provides. And as we take some time now to stop and to consider it, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Where there is a need, Lord, we pray that you would provide conviction, and not just conviction, but conviction that leads to repentance. And Lord, where there is need for grace, we pray that you would provide that as well. So speak to us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, start by wishing a happy Mother's Day to all of you out there this morning. And I don't know about you, but when Seth saw the title of my sermon this week, he kind of laughed and he said, I wonder what you're going to be talking about. So I don't know if any of the rest of you had that reaction, but we'll find out, won't we? Yeah. But many of us, I think most of us, we should say, we know what an instinct is. An instinct is a behavior that someone or something is predisposed to do. It's something that comes natural to them. And the reason that it comes natural to them is because it's a part of their makeup. We often comment that a person is just wired that way, right? And we find it rather fascinating because we see this played out probably more so in the animal world than we do so among people. And it's rather fascinating to us. It's fascinating as, you know, in the fall, as winter is approaching, we look up and we see the geese flying south in the winter. They just know exactly what to do, right? It's fascinating to see how salmon, they go to the very stream where their life began, and they swim up that same stream in order to spawn each year. Even though it's kind of gross, it's fascinating how if you have a pet cat, they might occasionally bring you a dead rodent as a gift from time to time and lay it on the doorstep, or maybe they even get it into the house. Who knows? It's fascinating if you have a kitten to see how they just instinctively seem to know how to use a litter box, right? They just go to it, they know what to do, and in that way they seem a little bit easier than dogs when it comes to training them as house pets. And it's fascinating to see a cow, which is calved for the first time, knowing exactly what to do, right, with its baby. And we tend to think that this is how it's supposed to work. We tend to think that this is how it always works. And it is the way it always works until, of course, it doesn't, right? And what I mean is that on occasion, things don't play out the way they are supposed to, right? We see an animal who doesn't do what we think it's supposed to do. We see a person, or again, another creature, fail to do something that we just assume is supposed to come naturally to them. Now again, speaking of animals, our German Shepherd is a case in point. And most of you have seen her as I walk her around town most day. She blesses me with exercise quite often. And she is a dog that was gifted to us by some prior neighbors of ours. Almost 4 years ago, they had a litter of puppies, and they offered one to us. I would often help them with their dogs when they were gone, and they said, I know your kids want a dog. You can have your pick. It's free. And so we were able to do that. We went out and we picked one out of the litter, and the plan was that they would keep the puppies for 8 weeks so that they could nurse, and at that point, we would be free to bring her home. However, even though that was the plan, the mom did not seem to have that great of maternal instincts. It was her very first litter, and by the time the puppies got to 6 weeks, she just refused to nurse them any longer. She just wouldn't do it. She would have nothing to do with the puppies anymore. And so we brought her home at that point, even though it wasn't ideal, but it all worked out for the most part. And we tend to think that certain things come naturally to us as people as well, right? We tend to think that certain things are just instinctive to us. And we tend to think that certain behaviors are instinctive specifically for men, and other behaviors are instinctive particularly for women. We tend to think, for example, that love is something that comes very naturally. And what I mean when I say this is we assume the ability to love comes naturally, and in the same way, we tend to think that the knowledge of how to love, it's already there. It's wired within us as human beings. And even though we believe this is true of everybody, I think we tend to believe that this is particularly true of women. We think it's especially true of women because we tend to believe them to be more relational than men. We think it's especially true of women because we believe them to be much more in tune with their emotions than us stoic guys, right? And in the same way, we tend to think that maternal instincts just come naturally to women. We tend to think that these maternal instincts, they just kick in, and they just kick in because they are wired to both have and to raise children. And for this reason, we naturally assume that when they have a child of their own, or even if they are simply around small children that may not even be theirs, they will instinctively know what to do. They'll just instinctively know how to nurture for these little ones, and they'll know exactly how to care for them. Now, as we think about that, I think we can all agree that this is the way it should be, right? This is the way it should be. We can agree that the ability to love should come naturally to all of us, both men and women alike. I think we can agree that in the ideal world, we would instinctively love one another as we ought. And in the same way, maternal instincts would come just naturally. A woman would by nature be motherly, affectionate, and gentle. And when a child has a need, she would just know what to do and be able to swoop in there and do the right thing in the right moment. However, as should be clear to all of us, we don't live in an ideal world, do we? As we look to Scripture, we find that everything about us, as well as the world in which we live, it is tainted by sin. Everything about us, as well as the world that we live in, it's corrupted by sin. We see in Scripture that this is true of our reason. We see in Scripture that this is true of our emotions. We can see this, for example, in Jeremiah 17, where we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Sorry, I'm not speaking right. "And desperately sick, who can understand it?" And as we look at this verse up here on the screen, the word that is translated heart in most of our Bibles, it refers to our mind, it refers to our affections, it refers to our will. It really refers to everything that is internal to us as people. And Jeremiah clearly tells us that all of our inner man is deceitful. In other words, it is something that cannot be trusted, and it's desperately sick, meaning that it is seriously unwell. To take it a step further, it means that it's incurable. In 1 Corinthians 2, we see another example of this, where the Apostle Paul writes, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Now, when Paul, in this passage, speaks of the natural person, he is referring to our psyche. The Greek word, psyche comes from that Greek word. He's referring to our soul in that sense. And he tells us that we do not naturally accept those things that come from the Spirit of God. The reason for this, he tells us, is because the things of the Spirit are folly to us. In other words, the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness to us, and in our natural state, in our psyche, we are not able to understand them. These are things that can only be spiritually discerned, he says. These are things that can be understood only by the Spirit of God. So in other words, left to ourselves, these are things that we are completely unable to grasp. And for this reason, what should come naturally to us doesn't. What should be normal for us as human beings, it's unusual. And what should be easy for us, it's always extremely difficult. What comes natural to us is not love, but selfishness. What comes natural to us is not the ability or even the desire to be caring and affectionate, but self-interest and self-centeredness. Everything about us, all of our instincts, have been turned on their head, and for this reason, they cannot be trusted. And this is something we also see as we look at that lesson that Don read for you a moment ago from the book of Titus. And in this passage, Paul is speaking to Titus, a young pastor who was serving a congregation, and Paul is giving to him instructions for the church that he is serving. And he starts out telling Titus that he is to teach what accords with sound doctrine. So in other words, he is to make sure that right teaching is taught within the congregation. He tells them then how older men are to behave. And then as we get to our lesson for this morning, he is telling Titus, how older women are to behave. And so again, let's look at this real briefly. Starting at the end of verse 3 and referring to older women, this is what Paul says. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And so as we look at this passage, one of the things, and of course there are many things that stand out, but one of the things that stands out to us is that these behaviors and character traits that he mentions in this passage are something that must be taught. He says that older women are to train the younger. The older women, he says, are to train the younger women to love their husbands and children. They are to train the younger women to be self-controlled. They are to train the younger women to be pure and to work at home. They are to train the younger women to be kind and to be submissive. In other words, these are not traits that simply come naturally to women. No matter what we tend to believe, these are not things that they automatically know how to do. These are not things that are written into their DNA so that they simply do them instinctively whenever the need arises. And the words that are used in this passage in Titus are quite instructive. The word that is translated teach in the ESV that I had up here on the screen a moment ago, it speaks of a teacher of virtue. It refers specifically to the teaching of what is good. And the word that is translated train, it's even more instructive. It means to bring them to their senses. It means to chasten them. It means to reprimand them. It means to, quite literally, teach them self-control. The New American Standard Bible says that the older women are to encourage the younger women in these ways. The New International Version says that they are to urge the younger women in these ways, and the King James simply uses that word teach. Now, I'm not trying to be sexist when I talk about all of this today. I'm focusing on women this morning because it's Mother's Day, and I'm doing so again because I think more often than not, we tend to assume that women just know how to do these things. We don't assume that about men, but we do seem to assume these things about women. And in reality, the same thing is true of men, isn't it? What should come naturally to men does not come naturally to them, and the reason for it is the same. The reason for it is that we too are corrupted by sin, and we live in a world that is corrupted by sin. And it's for this reason, for example, in our men's study this year, and we do this each year, but this year we've been talking about discipling our family. And even though most of us, we know that this is something that God has appointed us to do as men, it doesn't mean that we just instinctively know what we're doing, does it? More often than not, if you talk to men about these issues, they just tell you, I don't have a clue where to go and what to do when it comes to this responsibility that God has given to me. And this can be especially true of those who are new to the Christian faith. It can be especially true of those who perhaps they grew up in a non-Christian home and didn't have this all modeled for them. And so again, our aim is to teach, right? Our goal is to train the men of the congregation how to engage in this very specific task. Now getting back, though, to Paul's instruction to the older women, it's safe to say that this is something we have gotten away from in the church today. You know, I guess I can't go generations back and tell you how prevalent it was in the church of old, but today it is something that is rarely, if ever, practiced. Rarely, if ever, do we see the older women who are teaching the younger women. Rarely, if ever, do we see older women training the younger women, and rarely do we see younger women who are willing and able to simply sit under the instruction of those who are older. Now, it doesn't help that in the day and age in which we live, the church often segregates its members, and it often does so according to age. It does so according to what place in life you might be finding yourself in. We break up our kids by age. We do it with adults. In many churches today, we have a young women's ministry and we have an older women's ministry, right? We have a young men's ministry and we have an older men's ministry. We have a young couple's ministry and we have a ministry for those who might be a little bit more seasoned, right? And I'm not saying that we should avoid this altogether. It can indeed be helpful to interact with people who are at the same phase in life that you are in and who may be going through the same struggles that you are dealing with. But we must also recognize how helpful it can be for the different generations to interact with one another. It's important to understand that we can learn from those who are in a different place in life than the one in which we find ourselves. However, even though this is true, the problem is often not with the church. The problem is often with us. We are often unwilling to interact with those who are older than us. Or, reverse, we are often unwilling to interact with those who are younger than us. And one reason for this, I believe, is because quite often older women, they don't think it's their place to train the younger. They don't want to intrude on the life of a younger woman. And so even if they see a problem from afar, and even if they think that they might have something to offer, they're unwilling to address it, even in a spirit of love. And they must realize, however, that we are called to minister to one another in the body of Christ. They must realize that we are called to edify or to build up the body of Christ. And for this reason, it is certainly our place to disciple those who are younger than us in terms of life experience, or even those who are younger than us in terms of their faith. Other times, older women don't feel they have anything to give. They may not feel that they have done well enough in these areas in their own life to be able to speak into the life of a younger woman. And for this reason, they remain hidden in the background. And in this case, these older women must recognize that they certainly have strengths. They must recognize that they certainly have a wisdom and an experience that they can pass on to the next generation. They must only step out to make use of them. They must also recognize that their wisdom and experience consists not only of their successes, but also of their failures. They can relate not only what works, but they can relate what they have found does not work, right? Which is another source of wisdom. They can relate not only where they have succeeded, but where they have fallen short and what they have learned from that. But another reason this isn't happening today is because many times younger women are not receptive of this type of teaching. Oops, sorry, I fell behind a slide there. There we go. They're not receptive to this type of teaching. After all, it's humbling to think that you need to be taught these things, especially these things that seem to be so very basic. It's humbling to think that you have to be trained to love your husband and your children, right? It's humbling to think that you have to be taught to work hard among your family and to care for them. And the arrogant nature, it just tends to rear its ugly head and it refuses to be taught. It refuses to receive what the older and the more experienced women in the congregation have to offer. As with everything in the Christian life, we must first and foremost recognize our sin. We must recognize our shortcomings. We must acknowledge them for what they are. And we must turn from our sin, and we must look to Jesus in faith for the forgiveness that he offers, for the grace and the mercy that he has provided to us through his death on the cross. And recognizing our sin for what it is, and as we live a life of repentance and faith, we must then be teachable. We must be willing to receive from the Lord, and in that spirit, we must be willing to receive from others, is God works through them in order to be a blessing to us. And this is true of all of us. It's true of us no matter how young or how old we may be. It's true no matter how long we've been in the faith or how knowledgeable we are when it comes to the Word of God, right? None of us have fully arrived. None of us know everything that we need to know. None of us have completely overcome sin, and for this reason, we must all remain teachable. Now, getting back to our lesson for this morning, Paul says that when we do this, it serves as a testimony. He says that the older women are to teach these things to the younger women so that the word of God might not be reviled. They are to do so, he says, so that the word of God will not be dishonored, that it will not be maligned, that it will not be blasphemed, that it will not be slandered. That's kind of the sense that is coming across here. And this, you see, it speaks to the accusation that is so often lobbed at us in the church today as believers in Jesus. We hear it being said so often, that we in the church are nothing more than hypocrites. And what's meant by this is that our actions don't match the faith that we confess. And although we often bristle when we hear this accusation, and even though we tend to make excuses and shrug it off as something that is not true, it is often very true, isn't it? Although we confess faith in the Lord and in His Word, we don't live according to it. In fact, we neither desire nor are we willing to live according to it in some places. And this is easily seen as we look at our lesson for this morning. And again, I'm not trying to pick on the women in particular, right? This is true of all of us. But in this age of feminism and in the push for equality, women often stiffen when they hear, "You are to love your husbands," right? They often get offended when they are told that they are to be self-controlled and pure. They get annoyed when they are told to work at home and to be kind, and they become absolutely furious when they are told to be submissive. And quite honestly, this is one of the passages that, if they had their choice, they would remove it from the Bible altogether. It's one of the passages they want to reject or dismiss. It's one of those they just want to throw it in the garbage. But when we do this, we must realize we are living in unrepentance. When we do this, regardless of the command or the instruction God has given to us, it sends the message that Scripture is not to be believed. And when we do this, it leads others to reject and to revile not only a part of Scripture, but to do so with all of it. However, by embracing these things, we keep the Word of God from being reviled. By embracing these things, it becomes clear that we, as Christians, receive the word of God as just that, as the word that has come from the mouth of God Himself. By doing these things, we ensure that Scripture is both honored and respected, both in the church and outside of it. And by embracing these things, we ensure that the Bible is both kept and that it's fulfilled. In other words, as we live as God has called us to live, it leads others to honor the word of God that He has spoken to us. It leads others to embrace the role and to live in the vocation that God has assigned to them individually, and it leads them to do so in faith. Now, as with all things, this is not something that can be done in an effort to win the approval of God, right? This is something that cannot be done in an effort to earn His forgiveness or to earn His salvation. This, according to Scripture, is given to us freely, right, by the grace of God alone, and it's something that is received only by faith in Jesus and in what He has done for us. However, as those who have received the salvation of Christ, we live out the call that He has entrusted to us. We live out the vocation that is assigned to us, whatever that may be, and this is the call that has been given to young women in particular that we see in our lesson for this morning. It's this that the older women are called to do. This is their vocation, to instruct the younger. And so as we think about motherhood this morning, as we reflect on this passage of Scripture in particular, we have to ask ourselves, what is our attitude? Are we willing to recognize our own sin? Are we willing to turn away from our sin? And are we willing to be taught? Are we willing to receive from others the wisdom that God has given to them? Primarily through the Word of God, but also through their life experience. And as those who are older, are we willing to be used by God in the life of another? Are we willing to share what we have learned with another? Are we willing to disciple someone who is younger than us, someone who is younger than us in life experience, or someone who is younger than us in terms of the faith? Again, we cannot believe that people, or even that we ourselves, will pick up these things by instinct. Our nature is corrupt, and for this reason, our instinct is corrupt. We need to be taught. We need to be trained. And even these things that seem to be very simple and that seem to be very straightforward to us, they are things that have to be imparted to us. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for the roles that you have assigned to us, for the vocations in which you have placed us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to live those out as we trust in you, as we trust in your call, Lord. Help us to live these out as faithfully as possible. But we also pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize that these things, they don't just come naturally to any of us. They're not things that we are just wired to do and that automatically kick in. They are things that must be taught. And so we ask that you would give us the humility, first and foremost, to learn. Give us the humility to first and foremost learn from those who are older than ourselves. And Lord, for those who are older, we pray that you would give us the love, that you would give us the drive to minister to those who are younger than us in the congregation. So once again, work within us, work within the women, but in the same way, work within us as men in the church, so that once again, we might be properly equipped to do what you have called us to do. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, amen.